Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I mean, Alvaro Espinoza being the best player on the 95 Indians is literally the stupidest thing ever said on this station. And there's been a lot of stupid things said. All right, joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline is Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. Steve, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
What happened with Espinoza? What is happening?
I have no idea. Did you hear that? That was a clip. Somebody called one of our other show hosts, and I believe was saying that Alvaro Espinoza was the best player on the 95 Indians. I don't think he was the 20th best player on that team. I don't even know.
He was incredible. Of course he wasn't the best player. That's ridiculous.
All right. Like I said, there's been dumb things said on the station many, many times, including by myself, but that is the dumbest statement.
The guy, he used a foolproof method of attack. He's like, but I'm a fan, and
but
so
I'm
it's my say.
So
I'm a fan.
Alvaro Espinoza is better than Jim Thome and on and on and on and on and on. Anyway, Steve, let's they have big news for the Browns here as they cut Sheldon Richardson. Jonathan and I, we both don't like the move. I understand the cap space can roll over to next year, but I feel like these teams are always able to manipulate the cap whenever they need to. The Browns are trying to win right now. I'm not saying Sheldon Richardson is great, but he always grades pretty solidly for you guys. He was their best defensive tackle on their roster as far as I can tell. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I know he's overpaid at $13 million. But why cut him? What did you think of that move?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is part of manipulating the cap. You know, sometimes you have to do it a year early. Again, he's a solid player. And I think if you're looking at how the Browns are building their team, I agree with a lot of what they're doing, the way they value players. I think interior defensive linemen just aren't as valuable as maybe people think. Yeah, look, it does highlight a weakness, though. You know, you bring in Malik Jackson, and he's not your true interior. You know, he's a good rusher from the interior. You don't have great run defenders there. But I think Maurice Hurst is out there after the Raiders cut him. And if you just, you know, swoop in and picked up Maurice Hurst, you could replace Sheldon Richardson pretty easily, I think. So I think the point is, for that money, there are other players you can look at. There are, you know, you might grab a mid-rounder that could get in there, and then you might be expecting a little bit from Jordan Elliott in year two to take a step forward. So it's a little risky given the way the roster's been built, but I understand the, you know, the long-term implications from a money standpoint.
So you keyed in on Maurice Hurst there, which is a name that we've kind of been floating around ourselves, and we've been hearing a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, you need to hop on that. So you believe, and I've looked at the PFF grades, I've seen how good he's been, but he hasn't played full seasons. Do you feel like that would be an adequate replacement then? And what kind of money attached would that cost the Browns?
I can't imagine a ton of money. Look, he's been a solid player. And look, the Raiders need interior pass rushers. I don't know why they got rid of Maurice Hurst. I also know on draft day he did drop quite a bit because of the potential heart issue. I don't know how much that – I mean, obviously he's played. I have no idea if that's still an issue for teams or whatever it might be, but I think Hurst is going to find a home and become a – you know, he still be a solid player like he has been, a good pass rusher that I don't think teams love as a run defender. He's always been a, you know, an undersized guy that isn't great against – he's pretty good against the run, but I think you can potentially get him on the cheap, and that'd be a massive steal and almost an equivalent move to having Sheldon Richardson.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Obviously, earlier this week, the big news was the signing of Jadeveon Clowney. How much that factored into the cut of Richardson seems to be a connection because it happened the same week, but who knows? They did have the cap space. What do you think of the Clowney move, Steve?
I like it a lot. You know, it's not a terrible amount of money. Everybody, I do a lot of Tennessee radio as well, and they were so excited to get Clowney out the door because he had no sack last year. But the more you talk to PFF, the more you say, okay, stop looking at sack totals. Mm-hmm. Clowney, he's never been a great pass rusher, but his sack totals are down the last 2 years, and he hasn't really changed as a rusher. So in other words, I think this year with a better offense, with a better defensive line, with Myles Garrett there in particular, Clowney could stumble into 7 or 8 sacks with the same exact performance he's had the last couple of years. So all that said, he's a solid pass rusher. He's a very good run defender. He did look worse last year than he had in a few years. So that's, you know, maybe a slight concern as far as where the downswing is. But I think it's a great buy low. And I know what, $8 to $10 million sounds like a lot of money, but it's still a buy low for a guy that, you know, a year ago was expected to be making 20. So I like it a lot, and I like the way they're building the defense, at least the edge defender room, even though it's not a room, but bringing in Tack McKinley, bringing in Jadeveon, and adding that to the mix with Myles Garrett. I like this move quite a bit.
Yeah, which means Browns fans now for the draft at 26, we've moved away from defensive end prospects. We're not talking about that right now. With the Richardson news today, I'm telling you, Steve, people have locked in tunnel vision on Christian Barmore out of Alabama. Tell me what you like, don't like. Will he be there at 26? What do you see out of this again?
What I like is the fact that he's number 12 on the PFF draft board, and I don't think he should be there at 26. But if he is, you sprint to the podium. He is absolutely fantastic. The risk for Barmore is he's only played, I think, 500 or 600 snaps in his career. And that's actually a story of a lot of defensive linemen because of opt-outs, because of, you know, shorter seasons, whatever it might be. There's a lot of guys that just aren't that experienced. And the way we evaluate players off of production, it just gives us a smaller sample size to have faith in. But the small sample size of Barmore has been exceptional. He's one of the better pass rushers we've seen come out the last couple of years. His strength and quickness, that combo, reminds me a little bit of Gerald McCoy, who was a star, obviously, for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So I like Barmore a lot. It's a weak interior defensive line class. We don't have another player on our board until the 50s after Barmore. Oh, so it'd be great if he was available there, but I think he should be going in that top 15 range. We'll see how the NFL ends up valuing him, though.
So knowing how, you know, analytically driven the Browns are in terms of the draft, if he's not there, they're not even considering a defensive tackle based on what you're saying.
That would be my feeling, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the best thing the Browns are doing right now, you know, when you release Sheldon Richardson, it does add a hole to the team, so to speak. But yeah, the Browns are going into the draft with relatively few holes, right? No glaring needs.
Yeah.
You know, last year it's like, hey, we need a left tackle, right? And it's not a great position to be in, but the value matched up, so it was okay. So the best thing they're doing is going in with, you know, not having to go and pick a certain position in the draft.
When you look at veteran, you know, you mentioned Hurst before. If you look at, I'm curious, you know, Geno Atkins obviously had been a star in 2019. He was still, I think, pretty good. Last year he was hurt. He barely played. He's 33. Is there anything left in the tank? Is he worth bringing in for a couple of million or no?
Yeah, I think if it's cheap, it's not bad kicking the tires. He did hit a point, though, where he did look completely different last year on just 119 snaps. And you know, the decline had started as recently as 2017, 2018. So I think he's a little bit riskier at this point in his career. The drop-off on these guys is significant sometimes. Mike Daniels a couple years ago, it's just Jarrell Casey. It does kind of happen at some point, and it might just be a little bit too late for Geno Atkins.
Steve, what kind of other positions are you seeing that might be there for the Browns at 26, but then there's a considerable drop-off where if they don't get him at 26, then maybe it's just not something they do until the fourth or fifth round? Is there anything that kind of stands out for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I mentioned defensive tackle. I think edge defender is interesting because PFF, we have a lot of late first-rounders, but the NFL tends to value them. So if a bunch of those guys go off the board, it might force your hand for, say, like the fifth edge defender, but that's less of a priority now. I think cornerback has a bit of a drop-off. We have Asante Samuel as our number 5 corner, and he's 29th on our board. And then we have a drop off until 50. So it goes for us as late first round into like mid second round type of player. And I also think the NFL might value a few corners that we don't, who might end up there. But if there was a run on corner ahead of the Browns, then, you know, that's a position. I think they would like to take a corner. I think they could get good value there and just add depth, you know, to that position. But there is a drop off for us after Asante Samuel. So I think that's interior D-line corner would be the ones to take a look at. I think there is a drop off in our receiver rankings, but I don't think it'll affect the Browns at 26. I think we're going to be higher on the receivers than the NFL, and the Browns, if they did want to go that route, would have some decent options there.
I hate to ask someone with your I just respect what you do. You got just a high level of intelligence. It's such a shallow draft-based question. But Justin Fields, now third to the 49ers, is that starting to add up to you, or is smokescreen season just at full blast right now?
I think Fields always made sense to me at three. I had never bought into the Mac Jones stuff. I just can't – I could not see. I don't know if I can see Kyle Shanahan trading up to go get a Mac – multiple picks to go get a Mac Jones. You know, he's got a Mac Jones caliber type of player in Jimmy Garoppolo. The only benefit there is obviously the contract. You do get that rookie contract, and maybe you can load up other positions in the coming years. But I really think Shanahan wants to take that offense to the next level. Nobody likes to run the ball more than the Shanahans. And then you add the QB run game element to it. To me, it always screamed a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance. And then when I looked at it, it was like, man, Fields is accurate and he has the tools, and yeah, you want him to play a little bit faster, but I think Kyle's going to look at that and say, I can do that. I can make him play faster. And then you give me that run game component. I always thought Justin Fields was the best fit for Shanahan and the 49ers. So yeah, I'm sticking to that, and I'm glad it's actually coming back, you know, with a little bit more buzz.
Steve, what is your top five? Not in what order you think they're going to go. Who are the top five prospects in the draft for you?
Yeah, so we always value quarterbacks higher. So it's going to be Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields as 1, 2, and 3. And then we have Penei Sewell and Kyle Pitts, with Jamar Chase a really close 6. I think that 6, you feel it's not even – quarterbacks, you never feel good about anything. But those top three non-quarterbacks, Penei Sewell, Kyle Pitts, and Jamar Chase, I feel really good about those three as those blue-chip type of players where you can bank on those guys being really productive in the NFL.
Is the fact that DeVonta Smith built like a Twizzler, is that the only thing that's really held him back here?
Yeah, that's it. He's 7th on our board. There's definitely some within the company who think, who cares? You know, one of our guys would put him up there in Jamar Chase land. Other people wanted to drop him a touch, but we have him 7th on our board. And I think he showed, look, can he handle press? Yes. Can he create after the catch? Yes. He's awesome at the catch point. He's good at getting open. There is concern. Yeah, you know, maybe you face a Jalen Ramsey, he might beat you up a little bit. But DeVonta Smith has just been so productive in every area of the game, though. So we still feel pretty good about him, but it is just a rare case that you see a guy that skinny, you know, as a top wide receiver prospect.
Steve, as we get back, I want to get back to receiver because you talked about there is a drop, but it would probably be after the Browns pick at 26. If the Browns do go wide receiver at 26, who is the best ranked player you have that could realistically make it there?
Yeah, so our top three are Jamar Chase, DeVonta Smith, and Jalen Waddle. I definitely expect those guys to be off the board. We have Rashad Bateman from Minnesota at 17. He's really bugging me because he's listed at 6'2", 210, and then he showed up at Pro Day at 6 feet, 190, so 2 inches shorter and 20 pounds lighter. Wow. And I honestly think that could affect his NFL evaluation, the fact that he's just a different body type than what maybe people thought. So he's 17th on our board. I absolutely could see him there in the 20s. But Bateman's really good. He can win at the catch point. He's excellent getting off the line of scrimmage. He's one of those guys, you watch him and it's like, I don't know that he's great at anything, but he's good at a lot of things. So I can see Bateman being there at 26. The other intriguing name is Elijah Moore. We have him at 22 on our board. He's 5'9". And, you know, again, internally we have people that say, hey, I don't think he can win on the outside. Maybe he's just a slot. But honestly, that's okay because he does have 4.3 type of speed. He could be a vertical slot. He can be an underneath guy. Knows how to get open. Has legit wide receiver skills for a guy that's 5'9". He goes up and catches it. So I think Elijah Moore and then Terrace Marshall from LSU, if you're looking for a bigger 6'3 type of receiver, he ran really well at his pro day as well. So Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota, Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss, Terrace Marshall from LSU, all could or could potentially be there and would be good fits for the Browns.
How is the lack of a draft, has that impacted you at all? Because I know PFF is so heavy on actual game tape and game film. I feel like you guys would have an advantage over everyone else at this point.
It should help. Athleticism does matter. I think it's just a matter of figuring out where it matters, right? I mean, running back bench press doesn't mean anything, but you have to figure out how to use athleticism numbers. I think the thing I mentioned earlier, though, is because we have less tape, because we have fewer snaps, you just have less confidence in projections. Where if you gave us an edge defender that had 2,000 career snaps, we would feel pretty strong about that guy's projection going forward because it's an easier position to project, and the more data you have, the better. But a lot of the first-round edge prospects have 700 snaps, 500 snaps, 800 snaps. So it's just you feel less confident. So you lose a little bit of your confidence with lower snap totals, and then you just have to figure out how to parse out some of the athleticism stuff because it wasn't in that controlled combine environment, and the pro day stuff sometimes is all over the place.
Steve, great insight as always, man. Keep up your membership in the Alvaro Espinoza fan club. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
I was a mid-90s Rangers fan, but I really appreciated those Indian teams. They were fun to watch.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
They were awesome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.